Hey guys, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Joseph.
Yes. I will answer to that my government name. I will answer to that.
If you haven't got your check, it's in the mail.
Okay. I got it, baby. Direct deposit.
All right.
Yeah.
Yay. Go government.
We're going to talk about that later. How was your days, guys?
Yeah, I've had better.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Absolutely. Yak Tide.
Roll Tide. I'm going to touch on that and the politics of that being. So, yeah. Right. No, it was, it's what we thought it would be. So,
yeah, man, no surprise.
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome to Indy's Local Flavor. I'm your host, Joe Carney, with my buddies Scott and Rob. We've touched on politics briefly in our show, but it's going to be a feature today. We're all concerned voters. So I'm going to do the disclaimer right here. This episode may not be kid friendly. So if you don't want to listen this time, I'm okay with that. There may be some salty language or explicit lyrics. A parental advisory. So we're going to get into last Wednesday's event in DC, and I'm going to do my best to take the high road on that, but I am going to, go with the facts and insert my opinion there. So that's how I'm going to feel about it. And I have minimal notes. I welcome your gentleman's feedback on our big bonus topic today. So let's get to this. No, there's no sponsors today for that very reason, because this may not be a kid-friendly show. Andy's Local Flavor would like to thank all of our listeners in the USA. Also, our listeners in Canada, England, Netherlands, Germany, Ireland, Australia, Sweden, Botswana, Ghana, Nigeria, hello Anita, South Africa, Singapore, Costa Rica, and gentlemen, we just added Brazil and India.
India's huge. Brazil's huge. I like both those countries.
Me too. I love Pele from Brazil and to India. I would like to say I dedicate the song My Sweet Lord by George Harrison to you guys out there. Hello, Brazil and India from Indy's Local Flavor. Thank you so much for listening.
I'll tag on just real quick. India, sure. I believe, is the world's largest democracy. So thank you, India.
Yay. Yes, welcome aboard. In the sports report, NCAA football, Alabama beat Ohio State easily. Congrats to them. I give them credit for that, but to me, it's just another reason why they need a top 24 playoff. But what'd you guys think? I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all. I just saw the score.
I saw it, dramatically escalating, and I knew how it was going to go. Everybody knew how it was going to go.
It was a close game for about the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then, Devontae Smith just dominated the entire first half.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like the upheaval that happened afterwards. I guess Nick Saban basically threw shade, to use the kids' lingo, at the college football, the other conferences, and basically said, and we didn't walk away. In other words, Alabama played 12 games. Ohio State played what, 6 or 7?
6. Yeah.
Yeah. So
more like 5.
Yeah, but he was saying the SEC did not back down in the face of unprecedented times. So I kind of agree with that. So,
yeah.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not a Saban guy, but he's a good coach. So NCAA basketball action over the weekend. Iowa beat Minnesota. IU beat Nebraska, and Maryland upset Illinois. Tonight, the one Big Ten game is Wisconsin at Michigan at 7 on ESPN, and Rutgers and Penn State got canceled. I don't have ESPN, so if you guys have any NFL updates, please let me know. The one that I know of that was huge was the Eagles fire Super Bowl champion coach Doug Peterson, which I was like,
come
whoa.
To Indianapolis and bring Carson Wentz with you.
I hope that's sarcasm.
No, just a bit, maybe half.
That's
I mean,
funny.
Did you watch the game? Did you watch the Colts game last week, Scott?
I sure did.
Yes, I did. But
yeah, we're gonna talk about that later.
There's better options than Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
I have to. Matty Ice would be nice.
Dak Prescott's a free agent.
That's true too. Lots of options there.
And there are going to be free agents with the Steelers. I think there's a ton of them. So, and by the way, Costanzo is retiring. I saw that.
Yes, I saw that. Yes. Anthony Costanzo, yeah, hanging it up.
Well, good for him. You know, he's been here a long time. He's been injured here lately. I have his autograph when him and Patty Mack came to my office back when the office was open, way back when in the good old days. And Patty Mack, you know, was super cool and autographed the team poster. It was my son's birthday and he personalized it. So
yeah, he's the guy that attacked me and there's a photo of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Put you in the wrestling move, which is what he does now on the side.
Yes, exactly. That was that. Wow. Maybe I gave him the idea. I don't know.
Could be. NFL action from this weekend. The Rams upset the Seahawks. It was close. The Buccaneers beat Washington. The Ravens beat the Titans, which I thought would happen. The Saints dominated the Bears. Huge upset. The Browns upset the Steelers, and the Bills beat the Colts. And all credit due to the Bills, but the Colts kind of beat themselves.
Yes, they did.
So, and I have the predictions from last week. Rob was Bills 24, Colts 18. Scott was, which didn't cover. Scott was Bills 36, Colts 27, which didn't cover. And I was Colts 38, Bills 35. So I took the points, so I'm the wiener. So there you go.
And I will support that statement, Joe, since it came from you.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4. So we're now down to the NCAA term of the Elite Eight in football in the NFL divisional round.
I did not do a top 10 now that there's only eight. So just so we know.
Right. Yeah. Rams at Packers, Saturday, 4:30 at Fox. Ravens at Bills, which is going to be the game of the week, a game of the weekend. Saturday at 8 on NBC. Browns at the Chiefs. Unless the Browns upset the Chiefs, which is, you know, you never know. At 3 on CBS, and then bring your brass knuckles. It's the Bucks and Saints, Sunday at 6:30 on Fox.
I thought that was on the History Channel.
Yeah, well.
That's funny.
Is it going to be played in Jurassic Park?
Yeah, with the Raptors, and we're not talking basketball. Yeah.
No, that game is my Super Bowl, and Joe, I'm going to wear the Breeze beanie and my Breeze jersey, and three for three. Let's do it.
Well, tell them
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Rob, tell them the story of how that beanie has been a good luck charm for you, because didn't you lose it for a while?
I had lost it for a little bit. I was wearing it when I did the fantasy football draft. And yeah, I did lose it. And around that time was when I started incurring some losses in my fantasy league. But I found it again. I think I've actually lost it twice now. So it is sitting in a secured, undisclosed location that I will not lose come game time.
In a security lockbox in his house.
Yes.
Go ahead, Scott. You were going to get a comment.
Has Breeze been in the league as long as Brady has?
I believe so.
Let's see. The Rose Bowl was January 1st, 2001, and he was drafted that next year. So
Brady's been in a couple years longer than him then.
That could be, because I didn't. Well, Manning came out in 98. When did Brady come out?
At 2001. He was drafted April 2001.
Okay. So, yeah, he's been
and went to the Chargers, I believe.
Right. Yes. Where he got shafted by Philip Rivers.
Thank God.
So, yeah.
Because here he is.
Yes. So, there you have it. What do you guys think of the matchups this weekend?
Where I'm at, obviously, the Saints. I want the Saints.
Right, me too.
The Saints.
I'm growing the beard for the Saints.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So. I just trimmed mine back, you know, a little bit, and you know, hopefully by I don't know this time next month it'll be a full beard because Saints didn't lose. But
I was doing it for the Colts, but I went with Plan B.
Yeah. Okay, Plan B, and then as long as the Bills and the Browns win, I'm okay. That would be a perfect weekend for me.
Wow. Wow. Well, the Chiefs haven't beaten people by a ton of points, but they got so many weapons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah. It's like off the chart.
But I don't know. Maybe Cleveland's peaking at the right time. It just seems to be a kind of a blessed season for them. And I visited Cleveland once about 10 years ago, and you go in there, and I was just like, there's no way I'd ever be a Browns fan. Because literally, it's in their blood.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go. And I was like, really? Yeah. But, of course, I've been spoiled by Peyton for so long. So,
and it's right by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is even cooler.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I was like, Cleveland, really? Because when I was there, it was during a weekday or two where, you know, we could have gone and seen it. But it was like the hours were every Thursday from 12 to 12:01 p.m.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland?
Mm-mm.
Like 1950s DJ Alan Freed was in Cleveland when he turned on the radio rock and roll and played the first rock and roll record.
Nice.
So
nice.
There you have it.
Nice. I will get there. There's so many things I want to see there. You know.
Well, you need to go to Canton first.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a road trip. That would be, maybe I'll start, I don't know, again, June 29th this year, I'm supposed to be in the Evil's Titans Stadium for a rock concert, Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
And that may bust my budget this year. I don't know. We'll have to see how the tax increases go. But
yeah. Yeah, because the gas prices, I noticed that too, went north.
Yeah, it's happening. It's not. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Any your opinion, Scott, on the games coming up? You still with us, Scott? All right, I'll do my opinion. Hopefully, he'll come back. Packers are beatable. My opinion, the Colts beat the Packers, so I think the NFC is. I don't want to say soft. I'll say, what will I say here? It's top heavy. The NFC's top heavy. Yeah, we just lost Scott. The NFC's top heavy, and I think the Packers are beatable. So I think the Rams have a shot at beating the Packers. The Ravens and the Bills, that's going to be it. Welcome back. Scott, you with
us? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know what was going on, so I just restarted it. My bad.
Okay. No, you're fine. The Ravens and the Bills, I think that's going to be a shootout. I think the defense takes a backseat to that. The Browns and the Chiefs. What's the name of the Chiefs coach? Andy Reid.
Andy Reid. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the Browns come in with a lot of momentum and as a super hot team. It's really hard to win in Kansas City, but ask the Raiders. It's doable. But I think if you do all the factors, offense, defense, special teams, I think the Chiefs win by the coaching advantage. So I think Andy Reid, I don't even know the name of the Browns coach. I think Andy Reid wins on that advantage.
He couldn't even coach against Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because he, I guess he had tested positive. And
oh, that's right. He was at home watching.
You would think that they could get him set up to where he could, like, coach, you know, from a box or something by himself, you know, in one of the suites or something. But apparently the NFL said no to that. So for whatever.
Imagine that, the no fun and, league. Imagine that.
Well, and that goes to, I think, a lot of points that we're going to make over the course of this podcast is why is a team being penalized when no other teams have been penalized that way, to my knowledge?
Right.
Especially in, well, the Browns, despite everything, won their first playoff game this century.
Right.
Without him.
Right.
So that's why I think, you know, and rightfully so, I'd be pissed also. So,
but they ran the ball all day long, and that's what,
yeah,
gave them the advantage. This Bucks and Saints game, because there's really minimal fans in the stands now, it's a total flip the coin. It's a total push, in my opinion. I'd love to see the Saints win for Breeze, but it's going to be a total push, and I'd love to see Brady get thumped. But Bruce Arians can coach all day, and so can Sean Payton. This is a total flip the coin.
Yeah.
The difference in the game is going to be Kamara.
Yeah, he needs to bring his green and red shoes.
Yeah, the happy holiday shoes, right.
Did you hear some of the story on that? Every single game that happens, the historical association or whatever with the NFL, they will start making calls and reaching out to people right then, and they're like, "We want those shoes."
Oh yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
Not hey, Kamara, take the shoes and, you know, put them in your trophy case.
Oh yeah,
like, we need those shoes. But I don't know that there's an obligation on anything like that, you know. And so I was fascinated by that because I'd heard it from time to time, but I, you know, I'd forgotten it. So I thought that was interesting.
He should auction them off to pay the fine he got for wearing them.
Yeah. That's like a speed bump to him. That's nothing.
Yeah. Still, so the no fun league.
Yeah. I mean, remember when Peyton Manning was going to do a tribute to Johnny Unitas with the high, yep, tops, and they said,
yeah,
no.
They told him no. Yeah.
I'm like, and I would have said, forget, yep, you, pal. I'll pay the fine and give the other half to charity. So,
yep.
So anyway, so there you have it. So on to our next topic. So I'm going to begin. My career comeback pretty much started with two people. I had a classmate by the name of Paris who said, "You really need to try out for Reading for the Blind," and that was in 2018. So I try out for Reading for the Blind, and my buddy Mandy was interviewing me, and she said, I said, "Do you have a sports guy?" And she's like, "Yeah." "You have a music guy?" And she's like, "Yeah." I said, "Okay, well," and I was pitching a Star Wars feature because I had a Star Wars book that talked about the creation of Star Wars before Disney took it over. And that book was 20 years old, most people don't have. So I was going that route. And then I said, "Well, do you have a comic book guy?" And she said, "No." She says, "Can you do comic books?" I'm like, me and my best friend used to talk about comic books every day, all day long. We were 14. So, long story short, Black Panther was huge at that time. So what I started out doing is I bought the trade paperback of The Origin of the Black Panther, which was 40 comics, which took me 9 months to get through, and which was great. I learned a lot about that character. And, you know, I could have picked, and then it's on to my next comic. And I always, you know, I was always like 3 months ahead on what I wanted to pick for my next comic. And I could have picked any comic that I wanted, you know, Marvel, DC, independent stuff. I could have picked any comic I wanted. And the comic I picked was V for Vendetta. So, and that was 12 issues, and that took about 6 months, and my buddy Teresa helped me out with the female voices for that. And if you guys don't know the story of V for Vendetta, it's basically about a society where a society where there's no arts and music at all. That's all been banned. The television is totally government controlled. And at the time, the writer Alan Moore, who is an English author, was very much against the British government. So that's why he wrote it that way. And there was two characters in the comic, V, and he rescues a woman, Evie, which is played by Natalie Portman in the movie. So, the reason why, again, I could have chosen any comic I wanted, but I did this in a subtle way to protest number 45. And that's why I chose that comic. So there you have it. So if you know the storyline, you know what the political figure was like and what he did in the office and what and how he treated the country and how he treated his voters. And that's why I chose that comic. And if you haven't seen the movie, it's a comic book is 10 times better, but the movie's amazing. And I watched it recently and it still holds up. So
no, that's good. That's great insight. A couple things I noticed with that. So it was kind of like 1984.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. George Orwell. Right. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Well, one of the things I've noticed, and I know Joe, you'd mentioned something about a Match.com commercial. Yes. I think I know where you're going with this. And I do want to draw a comparison to kind of what you just laid out there as a, maybe a retort. I don't know. And as far as, you know, using my big person words, you know, I may or may not, it just depends, but, what did you have on the Match.com commercial, and does it fit to this, or am I?
No, it doesn't. Field? It's the funniest commercial I've ever seen. Have you seen it on Hulu?
Satan Dayton 2020.
Yes. Yes. I when I saw that, I started crying laughing.
Yeah. The point that I thought you were going to go with was that 2021 doesn't talk about politics, right? that she had met 2021 and she doesn't talk about politics. And he's like, boring.
No, I wasn't going that way, but that's funny.
Okay. Well, that commercial is, you know, and I was going to start off the show by saying I wish the list that we had done last week about our wishes for 2021 could be redone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In a week, everything is on its ass right
yes.
now. So,
yes. Yes.
Or its head or, yeah. you know, just fetal position, whatever. You
can say buttocks.
buttocks. Yeah, I can say that. But. And one of these days I do want to sit with my mom and have her listen to all of these. She's not, you know, up with the text, sure. like the rock and rollers and the kids right. these days. So, but, a line I want to draw in that comparison is if you've seen the recent Apple commercial
no.
with Tom Hanks and other people, it's done in black and white. You see folks with, Black Lives Matter shirts on and things like that. And it starts off with saying something to the effect, you know, people that make a difference don't just, you know, meander in quietly. They parade in. Well, what did we see last Wednesday?
Yes.
And to have a company that got started by parodying 1984
yes.
to now be doing some of the stuff it's doing, I think is extremely hypocritical.
No argument. When the elections of 2016 was taking place, and I didn't like either candidate, and the candidate I wanted to vote for, I think that party chopped his knees off. So I didn't like either candidate, and I did a write-in. But anyway,
So you're a Bernie bro?
Correct.
Okay.
So
okay, that's cool. No, I'm can I take it one step
sure.
further? Because what were your feelings when a Bernie bro went and shut up Steve Scalise and other only Republicans? Were you appalled?
Nothing surprises me anymore, Rob. So yeah, surprises me anymore. So
no, it's just the double standard is really what I'm trying to find.
Without a doubt.
The outrage, the pseudo outrage, the real outrage. I'm outraged at all of it. I have been for 9 to 12 months. You know, when folks go in and break stuff and hurt people, that's not progression. That's not progressivism. No. That's, you know, that is teetering on the edge of us not having a society.
All I got to say is if the people who's whatever party you're with. Yeah. If the people who started peaceful protests that were deceased saw what happened last week, they would be mortified.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a, my world is numbers.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I've thought about this. I've had 6 days to think about it, and you know, in 6 days from now, it'll all be reversed. But over the last 9 to 12 months, how many Black Lives Matter, Antifa, social justice movements, protests, or organized gatherings have occurred?
Right.
Not just in the United States, but throughout the world.
Right.
How many of those were peaceful?
We can do the microcosm and we can talk about Indianapolis, and it started out as a peaceful protest and ended up as a hijack.
Yeah, two people dead and a bank broken into and a historic jewelry store broken into and lots of other businesses. And I was going to use Indianapolis as the example. And you're actually kind of going where I'm going, which is how many were peaceful and how many were not.
Yeah, too many.
Right. In the grand scheme in 9 to 12 months. Well, how many Trump MAG rallies have occurred in the last 4 to 5 years? And how many of those were peaceful and how many of those turned violent?
Right.
And that's the lens that I'm trying to look through and it's not a moral equivalency. It is, how is this being presented to us?
Oh, you know, well, yes, I agree with you.
There is no arbiter of truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're contingent on algorithms and science. And as you've mentioned in previous podcasts, the humanity is losing.
Okay, so I'm going to touch on two things, and then you guys can respond. In 2016, when number 45 was running. Okay, and here's my background. My parents were divorced. My mom's on the far right. My dad's on the far left. So I consider myself a moderate. And I try to vote for a person, not a party. I never do straight party ticket ever. So, and I need to write this down. There are a couple questions I have. My first question is, where are the senators like Richard Lugar? Where are they, and why are they not standing up?
Now, are you talking Richard Lugar from the first day he was there, or the one that was there for decades?
The Senator Lugar type that stood up and for what he believed in and didn't go to any party, and he represented Indiana, and nobody wanted him out yesterday.
Well, I was one of them that voted him out because I start to see the progression, and you are hitting on one of my points that I'm grateful to be able to make, because evidently it's not considered insightful, but there need to be terms.
Without a doubt, without
you
a doubt.
You and I, he was there for too long.
Yes.
Was he a diplomat? Great. But in the business I'm in, diplomats, they make their nest for themselves and they serve themselves. And Luger was very, very good at making sure that, as all career politicians yeah. are, and our next president's has been there for 50 years. He literally got to Washington almost the day I was born.
That's my problem with Joe Biden. He's a 1%. He's total 1%. And that's what bothers me with our Congress is, Rob, you and me both know this. They vote on Medicare policy, but they don't have to take it. They get the best platinum benefits for life that's paid by us through the federal budget.
When I alluded to that with my parents and the shared occupations we've had, yes.
And exactly. When I used to work for Medicare, we used to get a boatload of letters from congressmen and congresswomen saying, why aren't hearing aids covered? And I would always say, and I wasn't answering the letters, but I was going to say, you guys didn't vote on it. And then you guys do one cranial wig, which isn't the high end for women with breast cancer. So right. That's a no-go for me.
Yeah. And that is kind of a segue to my other big point I wanted to get across is there has to be a third party.
Yes.
And I believe in 1992, when I was disenfranchised in my right. voting rights through a technical error, it was going to be the first vote I was ever going yeah. to cast. It was going to be for a guy by the name of Ross Perot. And I believe throughout election history, Ross Perot is the only third party candidate to get as many popular votes as he did. He got 19% of the popular vote. That was 30 years ago. It's past time.
Oh, I'm going to go a step further than that. I talk with my best friend, Craig, a lot. They don't have lobbyists in Europe at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they don't have to deal with... Well, yeah, I'm going to play that card too. They don't have to deal with corruption as much as we do. So, and then
it,
don't even get started on Big Pharma. That's all day.
Well, you know, the United States invents all these great toys that everybody
right.
wants
right.
throughout the world, and then we give it away. And that is at the heart of why I voted for Trump the first time and this most recent
right.
election. There are core ideas there that resonate with 73 million people in this
right.
last election. And those are the things that, and as far as Europe, it's great for Europe, but guess what? They're probably not having to pay their bill for their defense
yeah.
and things like that.
That's true.
But Germany,
true.
For example, when we pulled the troops yeah. out of there, oh, how shocking. That's actually more progressive than what I've seen from progressives over
yeah.
my lifetime.
Right.
Germany is one of the first ones to say, hey, guys, you guys are trampling all over your own constitution. It's all happened within the past week. And it's not from Trump. It's from folks that claim to be the arbiters
right.
of truth.
Right. So, I mean, it's not an easy argument. It's not an easy fix for our country. And
absolutely not. But having free, unfettered discussion about
yes.
issues is exactly
yeah,
what
exactly.
has to happen.
So I'm going to play this next card for something for you guys to think about. And you guys know me. And I think you guys know me, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. I consider myself a man of faith. And I'll say this one sentence. And if you want to expand on it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. The enemy loves chaos.
Bingo.
Hey, yeah. I
China's
agree.
Laughing.
Oh,
at
my gosh.
Right now. China.
They're not the only ones.
And so is
yep.
Iran, but Iran has a Twitter handle right now. Why is that?
Yeah.
You know, the Ayatollah.
Yeah, sure. So, and the stocks went down when Trump got banned off Twitter.
I once the market went south last year with the COVID, I'd seen that once before in my adult life, and I knew it was time to try to you know, invest, and I sold my Apple stock yesterday.
Oh, wow. So. You're taking me out to dinner then. Great.
I was going to say he's going to buy the beers when we finally get out of this whole pandemic thing.
Yeah. Oh, playoff weekend. I'm down. You're buying.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. Apple's been very good to me. Goodbye, Apple.
That's funny. You don't like Steve Wozenski anymore? Okay.
Well, I also don't like Jeff Bezos. I really never have, so I canceled my Amazon membership as well.
The other thing I was going to say, you know, when Trump was running, you know, number 45 was running, my story was and everybody says he's a great businessman, and that you could take that either way, and I get it. But I always use the example. You guys remember 1984 when he wanted his own NFL team?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And no, Joe, it's not a trap. Okay.
Admiral Akbar, but it's not a trap.
Just like, you know, our government would say, they're here to help us.
Yeah, sure.
I have pondered that. I pondered it 4 or 5 years ago when he was picking off, you know, Republicans one at a time through, I think he beat 16 Republicans in the primary. And, you know, he'd always, you know, in my adult life, been rumored to be contemplating this. And there's two or three paths I could take here. But basically, from the time I entered college at 18, you know, 7 to 9 out of every 10 people on my campus were not right, Republicans. Sure. Or, right. You know, I mean, we get two choices every 4 years. So that's pretty much how divisive we become. But I knew then with, like, say, Ross Perot, I would take a failed business person to lead my country over a successful politician that's been there for decades any day.
Okay, so
that's another thread under, I think, why 73 million people voted for him this last time.
So my next argument is, and this is my stance, and if you want to agree with it, fine. If you don't, I understand. Who was the last president that wasn't a Mason?
I've heard that one, too.
That would be Jimmy Carter, who's a farmer in Georgia, which, you know, you can make the argument whether you like him or not. He had more success after his presidency than when he was president. So my next thing is, as long as everybody's 1%, mostly doctors and lawyers in Congress and presidents, it's going to be the same old song and dance by Aerosmith. So we got to get rid of the Electoral College. We got to have a public vote. And we got to get rid of the 1%. So as long as
I don't agree with getting rid of the Electoral College, because if you do that, you will have this times a bazillion. I mean, the reason why that is so that the oligarchs that have developed, and that's why they need to be broken up, just like the railroads were, just like the oil companies were. When you have a monopoly that can control the tone of every single word that comes out of whoever has the microphone and whoever has the switch, that you have to have the Electoral College, because if you don't, then the people truly aren't being represented. And you hit on a lot of stuff there, but some of the things that I've noticed, I keep talking about the 73 million. Yes, 80 million voted for the other guy, right? Do you know how many registered voters did not vote this time around? 45 million. So how in the hell does that happen?
So here's how that happens. We need the whole country needs to follow the state of Washington and vote on your smartphone and take the voting crap off the table.
I totally agree with that. And that's another line that I was going to look at. You mentioned Carter. Well, anybody's going to look good after Nixon.
And we need to talk about that too.
Yeah. And if I can, I'll lay the groundwork to come back to it later. But so what's high treason and a misdemeanor, or high crimes and misdemeanor? Was it a president hiring a group of his friends to go into a hotel and rifle through some stuff, and then you had legitimate journalism happen to uncover it, right? So there's an impeachment in my lifetime. I think I might have been two.
Yeah, I was a young lad myself.
Yeah, yep. And I just read the book, so I don't remember it. But
well, it never got taught to me in high school.
Yeah, that's true. I don't recall that happening either. But then it didn't happen again until a guy by the name of Bill Clinton came along, and because he lied under oath, he was charged with perjury.
I'm not a
which is a high crime. I'm not a fan of him at all. I love the fact that he did work with both sides, that they were fiscally responsible, and that is the credit I will give him. Okay. But what it spawned was the 2000 election, which was called into question. And if you had CNN or Fox or any of these other current, you know, monopoly media companies, every day after that election, it was like a proctologist office visit, watching them, you know, examine hanging chads and all this. Yeah, it was cringeworthy, but it had to happen because guess what? Bush was up, and it was one county and one state.
Yeah, which was his brother's state.
And then finally, the Supreme Court stepped in and said, "This is done." Okay. Yeah. So what's the difference between now?
Absolutely, and then? Positively nothing.
Bingo. That is why the frustration happened a week ago. It has nothing to do with Trump inciting. It has nothing to do with any of it. It has to do with folks like Ted Cruz and Mike Pence that are trying to follow the law and asking questions. I'm sorry, but I'm an American citizen, and I have the right to ask questions on any of it.
You do.
And to have this purging, cleansing from establishment is not going to help this country if we proceed over the next week the way I
actually
think
saw
will.
The video, because I don't watch the news. I actually saw the video last night, and I was appalled. I was appalled because I saw the white female. They showed, I don't remember the guy's name, who the filmmaker who put it together, his name's Albert something. It's on my Facebook page if you want to see it. I don't
use Facebook.
But I want to say Albert Willis maybe, but he put the video together, and, you know, they showed.
Do you know a little bit more history about her? That she was a four-tour Air Force vet.
That's tragic.
She had posted on her social media the day before she went out there that she had said something to the effect, it was either dark to light or night to day, that this was something organized. And how the hell it happened has to be investigated. They need to cut this crap over the next 8 days and look at the problem. And that's the problem, is they don't look at the problem.
And my problem is Congress doesn't have the cojones to get his buttocks out right now.
No, that's not, in my opinion, the issue. The issue is, how is it that, I believe it's the FBI, went to Congress and said, you probably need few thousand National Guard troops because this is going to happen, and they declined it.
I agree with that. I'm okay with that.
For this purpose. And just because Trump did one too many rallies, that's why we're here. Now, that's not his fault. He should not be able, or should not be, well, it's just going to happen because from day one, it's been, bad orange man. And like you, Joe, my dad, he's ingested this stuff. It's damaged our relationship. Okay. My mother is just the opposite. And she's a good Christian woman, and she still followed Trump because guess what? We're, unlike folks on the other side, government is not
precisely our religion.
We have a higher faith.
Yep.
So that is kind of where a lot of this undercurrent is going. And it, you know, I've heard it said over my lifetime, there's two Americas. Yeah, you're damn right there is. There's 2 billion Americas, because, and it's fracturing further. And so I don't see how it benefits posterity to do this.
In my opinion, what happened Wednesday, and we touched on that earlier, we just put, how do I say this? The world is laughing at us hard. They're laughing at us hard.
Right.
For something that's totally unacceptable.
Yep.
And
to the deaths that happened at the Capitol, the second officer that perished a day or two later, he committed suicide over this. He is a Purdue grad.
Oh,
I did not catch his name, but he's 51 years old. He's a Purdue grad. And his father in the 70s or 80s was the sergeant at arms for the Senate before him. So, you know, this is local.
Of course.
All politics is local.
Of course. O'Neill. Yep, the Democrat.
And I actually got to see him speak on the House floor. And here's kind of where I'm just like, you got to address the issue.
No.
And this ain't the issue. I don't know if I've told this story, but the summer after the first Persian Gulf War, my family took a family vacation to Pennsylvania, and we spent a week in Washington, D.C. And in one day, this was the summer after the first Persian Gulf War, and, you know, security was heightened, quote unquote. I was able to visit basically everything there was to see in D.C., including the White House, both chambers of Congress, and the Supreme Court. And when I got into the observation deck of, I believe it was the Senate, it was back in the good old days when you didn't have a phone, you had those disposable cameras. I saw, obviously, a beautiful painting, and I raised it, and I took, and I went click. And between the time I raised that disposable camera and went click, I had a hand in
my face. They used to do the same thing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep. Yep. And then I went inside and we watched Tip O'Neill talk. And you know, so that place is our house.
Right.
And it's everybody's house. And it absolutely needs to be investigated and found why this happened a week ago.
Well, the D.C. police took down the barricade.
And they also let folks
Is COVID. This is COVID. You can't get into stinking McDonald's. You can't get into White Castle. You can't get into Steak and Shake. You're trying to tell me you can get into the Capitol building. Come on.
I can't even get into my vet, but I just handed him a ton of money to cut on my dog for about 12 hours, and I visited him 3 times in the past 24 hours. So to get medicine and things like that. So yeah, we, you know, that's another byproduct of overreach of government to say, you know, hey, restaurants, you got to do this and this and this. And I'm not just talking federal government.
Sure.
I'm talking all levels of government, that it makes no sense. You know, why is it that, well, Seattle lost because they had no fans in the stands. You know, I'm trying to bring it back to sports here.
I was going
to
talk about the USFL, you know.
And Buffalo, and Buffalo.
Oh, they had a boatload of fans in the stands, didn't they? So,
yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, so, you know,
arbitrary. It's got to stop.
I thought about what I was going to say about our future. But, Rob, I think you can agree with me here. I was going to say it's not going to get any better. But I changed that to our lives in general worldwide is not going to get any easier ever. And that's my opinion, and that's based on my faith. So you can take for what you have it, and that's fine. But that's my opinion.
I like the quote you had a couple of weeks ago about technology and humanity, and technology is winning right now. And I think that's the problem. 100%.
And I'll tell you why. I have two teens, 17 and 14. They cannot communicate with their friends or strangers to save their lives.
No. Yes.
Exactly.
I have a 17-year-old, a 12-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I'm constantly teaching them, you know, hey, when you talk to somebody, look them in the eyes. You know,
body
look
them in the face. Yes, body
language. When you shake hands. You know, stand up when you shake somebody's hand, you know, and just, I think social media has, you know, it's causing the downfall of humanity.
Yeah.
As you said, wasn't
Robert Bork the author of a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah? And that was 30 years ago.
For those of you who don't know about Gomorrah, please read your Old Testament. I think it's in Genesis. So,
yes. Yeah. But I've used that idea with a few other conversations I've had.
I agree 1,000%.
We are slouching towards Gomorrah. Teach your children history. And Joe, you're on point here. Here's a thought experiment that I put together.
Right.
Fort Sumter. Which side
that,
won?
That battle?
Fort Sumter.
Nobody. They both lost.
Who won Fort Sumter? Okay. 4 years later.
North on paper.
You're on point there. But
no.
Was it a win? We lost 500,000 Americans to end supposedly slavery. We technically in some segments of society still have it.
You know what? Our country's really become. Our country's been divorced and everybody loses.
Right. And that's where I think the 40 or 45 million that I mentioned before, and hopefully there's one or two of them here that will pass this on. You gotta get involved.
Right. And you can't change what's going on in DC, but you can change your local community.
Right. And bingo. And back to the sports analogy, because I was trying to pull some of this,
which is good.
The sports analogy. We are natural born citizens, and I am eighth generation, you know, and to the folks that legally came here and are legally documented immigrants to this country, welcome. And you know what? We're not just players. We're not just refs. We're not just broadcasters. You know, we are all of it, unless we just not. So that is, I guess, my main takeaway of what I'm trying to say. I don't care how it goes or who it goes, but we absolutely have to have election integrity. And if we don't, we'll see more of this.
So I'm going to take it back another step. Indiana, I love teachers. I love teachers. However, the Indiana online books are garbage for history. Garbage. So, having said that, you have to teach your kids at home history. And if you choose to choose a certain faith, you have to teach that at home. And then what I always tried to teach my kids was, hey, you know, you need to communicate. You need to have love, trust, and communication, especially with your friends and your family. And you also have to be a leader, not a follower. And
Yeah, to that point, a lot of teaching is at home and given those words of wisdom, regardless of the makeup of the family, right. If it's blended, if right. It's biological, yep. Whatever. It comes down to that. It does not, I'm sorry, Hillary, take a village. It does, but it doesn't. But the core basis is in the house of where
so
they
So I'm going to do my old school story.
Safe.
When I was a kid in the 70s, the whole block would spank you if you got out of line. That doesn't happen anymore. So the village concept isn't really legit. So I agree with you, Rob, 100%. So
Yeah. And sometimes it is not about spanking. Sometimes it's about saying, you know what, right. You screwed up, right. Learn from it. And if they don't learn from it, then you spank them. Then you have the public flogging. Then you lay the hammer down. And believe me, I've been on the receiving end of some of that some of the times. And that's hopefully why I'm not totally insane.
I second that.
But you're hitting on another thing that I did want to mention is my dad told me many times growing up, believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. And that is getting bastardized because you can't even trust what you see or don't see or hear anymore. So yes, learn your history. What is real history? Not revised. And learn how to communicate and
Tonya like Roberts says, died kind. two days and separate days in a week. And I'm like, hello, get your source right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. So. Crazy, crazy, crazy. No.
See, that,
no, one, that, was
that
fine.
Wasn't
no,
too bad.
Totally
there weren't too many bleeps, right?
You know. So, I've heard my other buddies were talking about Ball State and they were kind of salty. So. You know, I do explicit when I produce the show. So that wasn't bad. So, but,
I mean, I can do my impersonation of George Carlin here for the next few minutes if you want me to, but
you know, do you know the story behind that? You know, the story behind that, we had to study this in telecommunications at Ball State. And it was in the history of telecommunications, and the radio station, I want to say in California, played that record of George Carlin. It was on a Sunday morning.
Beautiful.
And a father was driving with his son, and they got one complaint, and that changed the entire face of radio broadcasting off of one complaint. And that,
I can maybe attest to that a little bit when I was in Pasadena Studio City 20 years ago for the Rose Bowl. Drew Brees, thank you very much. I woke up on a Sunday morning there, which would have been, noon Eastern time, and it wasn't game day. It was like maybe the day before or the day after, but it was a Sunday morning, and on the public access channel was the atheist station. Yeah. And it was just like normal, you're going to church. Yep. So, yeah. It's
weird. I got family out there. And yes, it is.
I do too. My uncle and my aunt, they're lifelong residents. He moved out there after he graduated college and taught law at one of the universities out there. And they live in Fresno, which is not San Francisco. And, there are way different sections of the state that see things a lot differently. But yeah, you get some great stories out of California.
Okay, friends, I'm going to wrap this up. Before we do, friends, please go out to FordHallOfFans.com and vote for my buddy, the Violator, Las Vegas Raiders, Wayne Mabry. And, there's no Colts involved, no Bears involved, no Packers involved. No Bengals involved. He's the best candidate by far, and I'm a little biased. Man, you can do that every day. It's FordHallOfFans.com and vote for the Violator, please. Today's episode was brought to you by the letter V for victory. Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5, 7, praying for a quick ending to the virus. For Rob and Scott, I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.